Black life is not a color, it's a lifestyle on cliffcentral.com.
Yes, yes, it's Thursday and you know what it is. Welcome to Black Life. I don't roll alone. My name is Monwa Bisitete and my co-host...
I'm Timisha Masha, the other guy today.
Yes, the other guy. He's always been the other guy, you know.
I've always been the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, here I am nonetheless.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? Look, the fees fell, by the way. Well, they didn't fall, but at least the increase fell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah. But how far along do you think this would last? I mean, now they have to find the money.
The money's there. You see, I think that what's happened is, I personally think that with Blade coming out and saying they must tax the rich and blah, 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 it's not going to really work. If you think about all the money that we're wasting in government from fruitless expenditure, all the corruption and that sort of thing, there's money already there. The money that we're pumping into SAA, for example, every single year as a country, and it doesn't come back to us, we could have used that money for education. And rather, you know, we can list SAA and the government can keep maybe 29 to 30%. Well, they can keep 30% of the shares, so they still have it, but privatize the rest and make sure that they don't have to pump money into it every year. SABC, we pump billions into it every year. This past year, SABC apparently lost 450 million rands. That's money that could have been used. Things like that would really... how much do we lose in billions to wasteful and fruitless expenditure in just general government departments across the board?
Well, there was... I don't know if you caught, not necessarily this week, but a couple of weeks ago, Trevor Manuel came out and he was guns blazing at some speech to say that, you know, corruption is almost like it's become a profession.
Yeah, well, it's a cancer in our country, and it's affecting...
It's a full-time profession.
It's a full-time profession, and it's really affecting the government's ability to deliver on all their promises.
Because right.
If you think about it, with the amount of money that's wasted on corruption, and even just wasteful expenditure, by the way, because there's a lot of that, by
right,
the way.
Right, right.
When you look at the inflation of certain prices of goods and services that are sold to the government at the moment...
Don't go about there. Trains.
Look, if you went there and you just took some of that money, so many things would actually be done. And it's frustrating as a South African to see this and say, the people who are in charge of this, can they not like have a little bit of a heart? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, it's our country's in an interesting state. I mean, the EFF march kind of... You know, for me,
that I found interesting.
Up. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because here's the thing with the EFF march, right? We have an EFF march. They go to the JSE and then they put across their demands that all companies in South Africa must give 51% of their shares to their workers, which is a very noble, I suppose, idea. But in implementation, what happens if the companies don't do it? What is EFF really going to do?
Yeah, well, you know... A lot of people are saying our country's in trouble, you know.
I think our country's...
The M1 bridge collapsed 2 weeks ago and the allegations that a truck driver could have knocked it. I mean, you know, have we got anything good to say about our country?
No, I think everything that we're saying is actually good things because, number one, these are just... It's like normal life.
Yeah.
You're never going to have it smooth. And in every crisis is a great opportunity. So we've got great opportunities in this country to solve some of these crises. And number two, really, I think that we live in one of the most interesting countries in the world. I think if more people in South Africa were like the young man we're going to talk to just now, Sipho, we would actually have a fantastic country. I was listening today on the news that, you know, in a couple of years, probably less than, we're going to have a water crisis. But the opportunity there is for business people to come up with ways to recycle water.
Right.
Because the water is there.
Is it
right?
Business people or entrepreneurs or who is it? Or these youth that are marching?
Business people is incorporates entrepreneurs,
right.
The youth that are marching, that sort of thing.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, you know what? My next million, I'm investing in a water recycling plant and also a desalination plant because we've got the oceans. We can just take the salt out of that water and use it to grow crops and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so those kind of opportunities are there. Opportunities in recycling rubbish. I mean, at the moment, we're still not doing what we should be doing when it comes to paper, plastic, metal, glass.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you went to all the township dump sites and you just managed to take all of that rubbish and separate it. For
example, but the vultures are doing that. I mean, they call them vultures. It's a bad word, but those guys.
I think those guys are doing a great job.
I've got the utmost respect for them. By the way, I think a UFO visited us this week.
I saw the picture, man.
Huh?
How crazy was that?
Huh?
How and crazy was that?
And it landed in Pitori, boss.
Kopitori?
Yeah, it landed in Pretoria, like in, through the clouds there, Midrand, Pretoria.
Is it in Midrand?
Yeah, man. I think our fellow folks have arrived. Eh?
Yeah, well, I think if they were going to land anywhere, aliens, they would probably land in Pretoria Mahlangeni. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. In the city of madness.
They just want to go and have a good party there. And that's all. But I saw that picture of that spaceship.
Yeah,
Let's say a cloud that looks like it could be a spaceship. And, you know, I've always said, if aliens were going to land in this kind, in anywhere in the world, they were probably going to land in South Africa.
Yeah, first. In Midrand. Yeah. So sorry, it wasn't Pretoria.
Oh, Midrand.
Halfway to the madness.
Yeah, they were like on their way there and then they got caught up in traffic.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah. But we got a very interesting guest today. A very, 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 very interesting young man.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I think this young man is going places.
Sipho Mlambo. I think he's going places. Well, he's from Mabapani.
Yeah. So Sipho, how are you, young man?
I'm good, and you?
Good. Speak closer to the mic. Don't be shy. Welcome.
I'm not.
Speak nice and close to the mic, yeah. Okay, Sipho. But here's the thing, right? Sipho, whereabouts in Pretoria are you from exactly? You're from Mabopane, right?
Yes, I'm from Mabopane in Winterveld.
Oh, okay. And
what are you doing in Mabopane?
He lives there, dude. Like, huh? I mean, really?
Are you proud? You can't be proud of such things, no? Are you proud of it?
Not really, but what can I do?
Okay. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Dumisho, do you want to speak about this young man?
Oh, well, I'll speak about this young man. You know, he's got a great faith. He believes that impossible is nothing and he can accomplish everything. He's also an inventor, which is really exciting. He's in grade 10, currently studying at Abel Motshwane Secondary
grade 10.
School. Grade 10 in Mabopane. So you see, he's also going to be going to university. If anyone's listening and they want to make sure that he gets a good university education, now's the time to start putting that money away.
Yeah, you know,
there's a great investment. So tell us about your inventions, young man, Sipho. What have you invented exactly?
Well, I've invented what is called a solar umbrella.
Okay.
Last year, my team and I, we entered a competition called Step Up to a Startup for Young Entrepreneurs.
Uh-huh.
So we had to come up with a solution to a certain problem. So we came up with, we discovered that in our community, most people use umbrellas for protection from the sun.
That's right.
So we wanted a way that they can benefit from it other than using it for protection from the sun. So while we were in the physics class, we discovered that solar panels work most when there's the sun. So we came up with a solar umbrella whereby we can put the solar cells on top of the umbrella, and while you are walking under the sun, you are able to charge your cell phone or your tablet through the umbrella that you are carrying.
Okay,
so get out of here.
And Mabopane has got a lot of sun. It's hot out there.
Yo, yes, it's hot.
So that, I mean, that's a really amazing idea.
That's brilliant. And now Kasama Vela will be powered up, huh?
Yeah.
So while you're at the picnic, you can just put your solar umbrella up with
your
cooler box.
Exactly, exactly.
And you can charge, you can even power your music, man.
So how far have you guys taken this?
Well, since the competition last year, it gave us like sort of an upgrade whereby we are able to get ourselves out there because we are from the United States because of the project that we are doing right now.
Not the United States in Mabopane, is in the US.
The US, yeah.
And what did you guys do there?
We're going to the 3M headquarters whereby they taught us how to become an entrepreneur and all those things. We learned how to become engineers, the stuff that they're doing,
wow.
How they create them, how to solve problems.
Wait. How old are you?
I'm 15 years old.
You are what?
I'm 15. 1-5.
1-5. 15.
Yes.
He's
no,
half,
no,
he's
no,
half
no,
your
no.
age.
Do me a show. Let's stop the show. Let's phone Patrice.
Okay, let me get him on the line.
Let's do that. Duncan.
He doesn't answer my calls during the day. You know, he's
he'll answer mine. I think
is it? Okay, why don't you call him then?
Let me call him. So you say you are 15 years old.
Yes.
And how many of you came up with this idea?
It's actually the three of us.
So it's you?
It's me, Samuel Ngobeni, and Bonke Mnotoza.
Ah.
So we actually have a team, but we call ourselves the innovators of the new age. We come up with new ideas. We solve certain problems. We discover things out there. Right now, we are working on a project how to create our own electricity because of the problem of load shedding. So we found ways of how to stay sustained and have electricity.
Okay, well, we're not going to ask you exactly how you make that happen because you don't want to give away your business idea. But that sounds like an amazing idea because obviously it's something that Africa needs, South Africa specifically, to start off with. But the whole continent, is that your view as well? Looking at the whole continent of Africa and saying, well, it's again, herigatse enada, and solve the problems of Africa. We've actually solved the problems of the world.
Yeah.
Is that how you see it?
Yes, that's how we see it. Because like we are not only, because the problems that people are facing are not only based in South Africa, so people out there in the country, in the continent as well, they're also facing it. So we want to go abroad by like our products, everything that's available to everyone in the world.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah. And in terms of these umbrellas, I mean, have you guys started selling them? Is it a pilot? Is it something that's working? How is it? How are you guys making sure that your inventions live in other places?
Well, right now we are still in the process whereby like we are still registering it, getting a patent and all that.
Okay.
And then we are in the process of making it.
Wait, who's doing that? Who's doing that?
Errol Pillay is helping us.
Okay, okay. Okay. And it belongs to the three of you, I take it.
Yes, yes.
And you guys call yourselves the what?
Innovators of the New Age.
Innovators of the New Age. Have you guys got a Facebook page?
Yes, we've got a Facebook page.
Innovators, I think let's go there.
Let's go there. Innovators of the New Age.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in awe, you know, like 15 years old, you're making me look like I'm not working at all. And that's a serious.
What have you done with your life? And in fact, what were you doing at 15?
Dumish, what were you doing when you were 15? Because I can bet you weren't doing what he was doing.
But I was practicing, Mona BC. I was doing the sketch. I was singing.
I was
on stage.
Sit down.
I was playing in a jazz band. I was ready to do what I'm doing now.
Sit down.
What were you doing?
I was playing cricket. Simple.
So
I was playing cricket.
Did you have a little magazine
I didn't even know that I was going to do magazines.
You were like, going to be a cricket entrepreneur. A cricketer.
Something like that. I thought I was going to play like international cricket.
Then they didn't give you a chance, ne? Because they didn't put you in the team.
Let's not go there.
Talk about
opening up a wound.
All right, cool. But anyway, I think that's amazing because, you know, a lot of people, young people out there, think that, and I want to pose this question to you, Sipho. Your story is remarkable in that you are born and raised by a single mother. Your particular circumstances, especially where you come from, I mean, I know Winterfeld very well. It's not exactly, you know, Sandhurst.
No.
What made you have so much faith? Where did that come from?
Well, since growing from a young age, I've always believed in myself, believe of making change, making sure that I change the circumstances that I live in. So since growing up, I've always loved becoming an inventor, coming up with ideas, creating stuff, solving problems and all those things. Mm-hmm. I've always believed in myself that I can do it. No matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it. So the circumstances that I live in or where I come from does not determine my future. So I have to work hard in order for me to be able to achieve my goals and achieve what I want to become in life. It comes from knowing myself, because like people can always talk, but there's this quote that says when people talk behind your back, it's simply because they can never find a spot in front of you. So I keep on going, no matter how bad it is. I make sure that I look forward achieving my goals regardless of where I come from and all that. And another thing is that like I stop comparing myself from other people, because Bill Gates once said, once you compare yourself with other people, you are insulting yourself. So I want to make sure that I am who I am. I am not in competition with other people. I compete with myself, trying to be better than the person I was yesterday. And while I do that, I understand that becoming a leader of one, myself, is better, is the greatest position I can ever inquire.
Right.
Knowing that I can be able to lead myself, I can achieve my goals and all those things.
Asimohe. Here's the thing. Where do you see yourself then in 15 years? Where do you see Sipho Mlambo 15 years from now? What will you be doing? Give us your
dreams. 15 years too far. Let's say 2 years from now.
Okay, 2 years. Give us five, actually. You're 20.
Five. When I'm 20, actually, I want to become a successful young entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Because I take becoming an entrepreneur as a bowl whereby I can be able to capture all my careers. Because as an inventor, I want to become an engineer and at the same time an entrepreneur.
That's right.
I can be able to create stuff, come up with ideas and all those things. And through the career of becoming an entrepreneur, I can be able to get myself to the market and can be able to sell my products and all those things.
Okay, so what's your maths mark?
My maths mark is from 80 to 90%.
From 80 to 90%?
Yes.
And what's your science mark?
Science is 80, same.
Okay, I've got a deal for you.
Yes.
Right? Everyone's listening, right?
Yeah, I'm
I got a deal. I got a deal for this young man.
What's the deal,
right?
What's the deal? What's the deal?
If you hit, okay, let's drop this phone. It's unnecessary. You've got 2 years to go, right?
Yes.
If you get 90% for maths and 90% for science,
why don't we make it 80? 80 is still good.
Yeah. Okay, no, let's say between 80 and 90.
Okay,
In fact, you know, if I had a teacher, ne? Whenever you'd get 90%, you'd say, "What happened to the other 10%?"
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna let's peg it at 90.
Okay, peg it at 90.
Dimisha and I. Now you're in this, right?
I'm in something, I don't know what it is.
Yes,
let's hear it. Okay.
So, what are we gonna do? Get 90% for maths and you get 90% for science. We will personally fund your undergrad.
That's your university degree?
That's your university degree.
Yeah. Okay.
So, whether it's engineering, right. 5 years?
All right.
Or like, 3 years?
Like we're not gonna find the money. We're gonna like just find like personally.
Well, we'll try and find it.
Okay.
But if we don't find it, we'll fund it.
Okay.
Find or find it.
Okay.
Right.
I hope my wife
we're
is
signing.
Listening.
We've got witnesses. We've got our
Baby,
listeners.
I just want you to know that this was Monabisi's idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah. And.
What's the cap though? What if he wants to go to Harvard? You can afford Harvard fees.
Dollars, boss. Dollars. We must make dollars between now. So we've got 2 years to make your money for the next 3 years.
To
TUT. 5 years. Eh?
No. Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go? Yeah, let's go. Let's start. Oprah, I hope you're listening.
Before you make promises.
Hey, I hope Oprah's listening.
Where do you
want to
study?
Well, the aim that I was having is that I want to achieve about maybe 100% in all my subjects. So like maybe I wasn't planning on studying in South Africa.
I told you, dog. Just throw your shoulders down the river.
Okay, we got problems.
You know how much MIT
Cliff
fees
Central,
are?
Our salaries, please just take them somewhere.
What am I doing, selling
you know?
My cars?
No, I think, we better start now. It's multiplied by like what, hopefully by then it won't be like 16 or, you know.
So
we need
I better
to
get like good shows, ne?
Yeah,
international
no.
shows
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I think,
now on.
Yeah, any acting professional producers, international. Tumisha's available for quite a fee.
I need that money, dog.
Yeah. No, we need that money.
Where do you want to study?
Where do you want to study?
Where do you see yourself?
Well, I want to study for becoming an electrical engineer.
Oh, where?
Where?
I wanted to study in Oxford University.
That's a great university. I've been there. It's a really good university.
Okay, we were looking at South Africa, right? Can I just have a disclaimer? But
no, but you know what? We will make sure actually that
we will ensure that
money is found. You have to go. You have to go.
Yeah.
Especially with that kind of ambition. Yeah. If you achieve what you achieve, we'll have to achieve what we achieve.
Yeah.
So that's our challenge.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Done. And you said there's three of you.
Yes, there's three of us.
And what do the other two do?
Well, we are a team and I'm the team leader. So now, basically we all come up with ideas and all those things. So basically the other two, they're helping me just to invent those things. They're helping me with creating those products.
Right, awesome. Right. Awesome.
That's amazing.
And then did you ever meet the kids from, I think, Limpopo as well, who designed the bags, the solar bags? The solar panel bags. Do you guys ever meet?
I haven't met them, but we read their article. We've read about them once.
You read about them?
Yes.
I think there's a collaboration right there. Youngsters doing it for themselves. I think there's a collabo.
Definitely.
I think we better link them up, yeah?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right.
And then
we're about to
make that happen.
And also, you know, don't go anywhere because later in the show we've also got the cast from the movie, the brand new South African movie, The Jakes Are Missing.
So
we're doing like arts, science, maths, everything.
Right.
On this show today.
So,
Sipo, we are looking forward to making sure that you get yourself to Oxford. I do recommend also looking at places like MIT in Michigan, which is a great engineering and business university in the States.
Dumisha's younger brother's an engineer, actually, mechanical engineer.
One of them, and the other one is going to MIT this coming week. Industrial engineer. He runs a couple of manufacturing companies.
Right.
Himself as well. Okay. Both my brothers actually do manufacturing. I'm also in manufacturing.
No,
now.
When are you just an actor? Just an actor.
I'm acting like I'm in manufacturing.
Yeah, no, you're acting. Yeah? Acting.
Okay.
Acting. Just
well,
keep
it was great talking to you, young man. And all we can say is like keep the faith, keep it going, because you are only able to achieve what you keep believing that you can achieve. And we're very proud of you, and we wish you all the best. God bless you, by the way.
Yeah, God bless you.
Remember
abundantly.
To keep praying about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because without Modimo, what are we?
Nothing.
Nada.
Good man. Good
next.
Man. Good man.
All right,
man.
Nice talking to you, Sipo. By the way, do you have a Twitter page, a Facebook, Twitter handle, Facebook page, or any of those things? Or are you too busy to be on social media that people can?
I'm too busy, but I do have a Facebook and a Twitter.
Oh, okay. So let's tell the people where they can find, especially your stuff on Facebook, because there are some business people who are probably listening to this and they want to get in touch with you, at least on Facebook or maybe on Twitter. So what is your Facebook page or your handle on Facebook?
It's Sipo Major Christ Mlambo.
Sipo Major Christ Mlambo. Yeah. And on Twitter?
It's Sipo Mlambo at Major Mlambo.
At Major Mlambo. There you have it. Thanks so much for being with us in the studio today, Sipo. And we wish you all the best. I'm really proud of you. As someone who's from Mabopani, from Sosha, and I know the difficulties of coming from a place like that and all the things that you're doing, you're making us incredibly proud, man. We're behind you all the way. Don't forget, you get that 100%, you get into Oxford. We're making sure.
I need somebody. You show it if you got something. Show it if you got something in you. I need somebody. You show it if you got something. Show it if you got something in you. Shake us bad, jam. Scatomo la pelo gare. Jomasono. Wakipa. Vanavaga van pizza. Give a shop a gare clipper. Romance pizza 2 liters. How? Mara bueno scalata. Nos campona que le softe. Que chavana baba softe. Que nalim chavo roto. Chapa mani sanet. You can pick it up where I left off. Vanavaga van pizza. Chale iu wanama, he wanama. Waso gori su kalanga, nunga chelu kalanga mlomo. Au kalelu chwa lukbovu. Yo. Hey. Yo segen ene yo raba nege yo twist like peanut butter no jack. Oh, Zulu con me. How? Wana nyana unto adumela. Oh, kamo gele limbo no tena fela. Baby girl, you're a kitty cat. Raba di fela. Taka pagelo, vitela ta tili di gela. Cause when I how? Oh, basically how? Oh, how get on a hola? Oh, bada asuwe, ah, within yours. Bada 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 bada.
Well, you know, we're trying to get you the trailer for The Jakes Are Missing, which is coming up in any time now. Let's see how it goes. What is happening here? Because that's who we got in the studio right now. The cast from the film, the brand new South African movie, The Jakes Are Missing. They're all here with us right now. So we're going to get you that trailer as soon as we can.
Yeah, the trailer's missing now.
The trailer's missing now. Yes. Not only are the Jakes, but
the Jakes
are
missing.
And everything goes missing, but I will be around.
Everything goes missing. So how are you guys doing, man?
Awesome.
We good.
Okay. So tell us about the film, The Jakes Are Missing, while we try and get the trailer up and running. It's a new South African film, okay? And I've seen the trailer and it's really exciting. I haven't
really
seen the film yet.
It's really
I was
good.
Supposed to be at the event, but I just had a baby. Sorry, guys.
Hey, congrats. Aww.
Thank you. First of all, tell us about the film.
Mpo's going to talk now. Seeing that he's the lead.
Wow.
The number one
lead.
Lead
is just quiet.
You play the son. You play Mampo's son.
I play Mampo's son. So it's a story, you know, that's basically around a family that is going through a rough patch. You know, my mom and dad are thinking about breaking up, divorcing rather, and all of that. So
because of you?
No, it's not because of me. See, I'm the one that keeps the family together. Keeps the family together.
Yeah, this is his own movie that he's just written in his head.
I'm just about to ask the producer, was that on the script?
Never. So I get into a bit of trouble and with the baddies. You know, the bad guys on my left.
Okay.
Maybe that's why the trailer's missing. And then we end up in a town where I fall in love for the first time and our family comes closer together.
Uh-huh.
And then we meet our nosy neighbors and whatnot. So it's, very, very interesting story.
Well, I think, you know what? I think we got the trailer ready. Let's see if we can make that happen. Yeah, I know.
Right.
We're struggling with this trailer. I don't know.
Technicalities.
I'm missing in the studio.
I think it's a great family story. It's,
right.
It's fresh. It's a different thing. It's about, you know, the things that families go through, and then you've got this young kid who's kind of like, he's out there and he's also wanting to rebel a bit, and it's about coming of age. You know, he meets a little girl in this little town, you know, it's that as well, but it's also about how situations can change and how when you sometimes thrown in a different situation, we adapt, and it shows how lekker it can actually end up. And it's just a good, fun story.
Okay.
Absolutely. And also, it's a love story. Essentially, it's a romantic comedy, and it's this beautiful journey of how women specifically, but also, of course, men, find themselves in difficult situations when it comes to balancing career and a family. And Mampo portrays the role of Janice really well in that, in kind
she
of
plays a working mom, right? Like
she does, with this huge career ahead of her. She's now an advocate.
Yeah.
And her coming to terms with that, like she's losing her family and how she kind of gets herself back.
What I find interesting about the film as well, the premise of the film, it also looks at, you know, the modern South African successful family and the pressures of that, right?
Yeah.
You've got teenage son, you play a teenager, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got these two successful parents, and it seems like they're just moving apart in terms of their relationship. And the family is fractured and kind of disjointed because of the city life, the pressures of work. And then they decide to go on this excursion out in...
Well, they're forced, actually.
They're forced, right?
None of them want to go. Yeah.
but they go out there in the middle of, you know, what in the city we call nowhere, but it's in Clarendon. Am I correct?
Clarence. Yeah.
And it's this beautiful setting, sort of semi-rural, and that's where they find themselves. Could that be like a metaphor for like the modern family and how we need to just quiet down to find ourselves again?
I definitely think so. I think sometimes we can start to find our identity in stuff, in material stuff. And I think we can start to hide between jobs, cars, appointments, that you get so caught up in the busyness of life that I feel that we become extremely disconnected from what is actually important. Because you think, okay, I need this big house and I need this car and my child needs to go to a private school, therefore I need to be working 18 hours a day. And when they're then removed from those kinds of pressures, which essentially they put on themselves because of society, they're forced to encounter each other again at a very basic level and in a very new way.
Okay.
To be like, it's the relationships that are important, not the stuff. I'm sure Jody and Impor can elaborate as well.
So Jody, what character do you play in the movie?
Well, I'm a very misinterpreted character.
you doing that again? You started just the typecast.
You know, people see me as the bad guy.
But you're not really, are
no,
you?
No, I'm actually the catalyst.
Okay.
If it wasn't for me, they would never go to Clarence. Okay. They would never actually sort themselves out.
So when you say people see you as the bad guy, why would they see you as the bad guy? Why would you make them go to Clarence? Who are you in this film?
No, I've been just kind of... I've got a job to do. Uh-huh. I have to recover these chips, you know. And there's... We think that, well, that he's got them, the son. Mm-hmm. And then, the police get involved. It just gets all messy. You know? Add the police into any equation gets messy. And then they get pushed off. And then they get sent off to this little dorpy.
Do you follow them there? Do you actually go after them and try and...
I trace them down. I use a set of skills that I've acquired over time.
Yeah.
I play different characters and then I eventually find them. I don't threaten them with too much violence.
Yeah.
Because I just want the chip back.
Yeah.
Which it turns out that he never had the chip.
Ah, okay. Yeah. But Jody, we've seen you in a lot of productions in South Africa and international productions as well. You've done drama very well. You've done comedy very well. What was it about this particular script that attracted you to this film?
I just thought it was good fun.
Yeah.
Let me be honest. It's about time we just have good fun.
Yeah, right.
You know, want a bit of escapism. Drama's cool. There's a space for it. There's a place for it. I just thought... Let me do it, man. Yeah. Why not? You know,
so it wasn't for the money. Somebody wants to know. It wasn't for the money, right?
Have you seen the car I'm driving?
I saw the M3 or is it the M5? I saw the GL. It must have been the GL.
It's a Gushesh.
That costs money.
1991.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I fix it myself.
Guys, I was around somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Now this movie's a comedy. We've had great South African comedies come out of this country, but they don't always do well at the box office. What do you guys see it is that will attract the audience to the South African audience and, of course, the international audience to this film as well?
I think because it's set in South Africa, but it's not necessarily uniquely South African. It is a straight-up genre comedy. You would see Meg Ryan in a movie like that. You'd see, I don't know, who does rom-coms these days in Hollywood. It is a typical romantic comedy. It's beautiful. It's shot extremely, really, really well. It's cast so well. Everybody brings their own kind of flavor to it. There are huge actors in it. I mean, we've got Jodie Abrams and Paul, Mum Abigail Kubeka, Darlington Michaels, Mum Paul
yourself.
Pope. I was leaving the best for last. That's what you mean. I was going to put a drum up.
You play like the nosy neighbor, right? In this or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Typecast.
There are three of us. So we nicknamed ourselves the PC sisters because Celeste is black, Heidi is white, and I'm colored. And we just involve ourselves in everybody's business. You know, small towns most, eh? Like, new people move in and you better just understand exactly what's going on there.
Well, I've never lived in a small town, to be honest with you. I don't even know what it's like.
Just live in the Cape Flats, which is huge, but people still know your business.
Oh, really?
Wow. On the regular. Okay. Wow. You can spend hours just sitting in front of your window and watching how people walk up and down and gossip whole day.
Well, we've got Clement Tao on Cliff Central that says, cool trailer. Now to set up date night with the wife. Let's support South African.
Let's do that.
Totally date movie.
And I know that it's out at the cinemas right now. Which cinemas? Are you aware of which cinemas it's playing at?
Rosebank, both the normal Zone and Prestige, Sandton, Cresta.
Oh, you guys made Prestige? Hey. Oh, wow.
You know it.
But it is a beautiful looking movie and it definitely needs to
be shown. It's at the movies, eh?
It's at the movies.
It's not missing.
At the movies.
Yeah, it's at the movies.
At movies.
Yeah, it's at the movies. Go there to the movies and you watch it.
No, because I say that in all seriousness because I know that also there is Monte Cassino's got, or Tsukhosan's got movies, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So I don't know.
It's there as well. The producer.
Is it basically a Sturkinikor thing?
Zambia.
Huh? Yeah. Zambia, Lesotho. So there's absolutely.
Namibia.
Come get the mic. We got the producer in studio.
And the writer.
And
this
the writer.
Is her baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think she best come tell us where her baby is at, right?
So you can find the movie in Sturkinikor in your metros in South Africa, Durban, Mpumalanga, Cape Town, Joburg.
All the provinces. All over. All that, nine.
That's Bianca Isaac. And maybe we can have a chat with Bianca for a little bit. Just a small one, short one, Bianca. Now, you know, the difficulty of raising funding for South African film, as we all know, it's always a matter of chicken and egg. How did you guys go about it? Did you have to have a proof of concept when it comes to distribution? Did you get the distribution before the funding or after? You know, those sort of things. Those difficulties.
It's hard. Every step is a chicken and egg situation. I had to write the script first, which took about a year.
Mm, and that's so important. Did you get the right kind of support in terms of development cash from NFEF?
I developed myself.
Okay.
The cash.
Yeah. You have to like self-funded. Right?
I had lots of friends though that like tapped me on the back and went, "Well done." But the support was great in terms of people looking forward to the next step after the script. And once the script was done, Stray Kinnicore was very interested in the film. Mario and his team are fantastic, and they just supported me all the way. And then it was a matter of getting all the key players involved that were going to finance this. And then that took another year. But okay. A year well
was
it, worth
was it. Was it private financing or was it public? Was it through the DTI, NFEF?
The DTI was on board, the IDC, and then
the usual suspects.
The usual suspects.
How much did they give you? We want to know.
Guys.
But now, in terms of what your needs were for the budget, did you find that you met those needs in terms of the funding, or did you have to, like we generally do, have to find a way to make it work?
I think I'm all favored out. These guys will never do me a favor again.
there were lots of favors that you had to end up asking for, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the budget is relative, and I think we super exceeded the expectations of the budget. Mm. Lots of favors, lots from friends in the industry, people calling upon people. But we made it work.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know that I would do another film with that budget again. Okay. Probably never.
And also setting it in a small town somewhere like Clarence, right?
You had to
move the whole cast and crew.
Did you guys love it?
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because some people were in the nice hotel and others were on the border of Lesotho.
Oh, it's just it depends where you were on the cast list.
You know what I mean?
From 1 to 5, you're in the nice hotel, and then 5 down.
Downwards.
Like, yeah, you're like in Lesotho.
She looks like a diva though.
Yeah,
not saying, just saying.
How? Don't ruin my reputation.
I don't know, where were you
it
guys
was beautiful
in the food
though.
Chain? Did you guys enjoy your accommodation?
Look, I was with Nicole, okay, right there on the border. We were on the border, right, Nicole?
Yeah.
We don't know about Jody though.
Yeah.
But I slept in my car.
Jody seems like that kind of guy who, if he's not happy with the hotel, just go sleep in his car. You know what I mean? He just kind of fits in.
He's
anyway.
Easy. Yeah.
You know, he's easy like that.
Yeah.
But how did you guys find the experience of being out of Joburg and shooting something like, because we usually shoot everything in Joburg. Like, you know, and that's the other thing. I must really say congrats on your bravery, because, you know, we could have shot this somewhere in the south and pretended it was Clarence, right? But you actually went there.
Yeah, I think what's important for me for this project and the next project coming through is exploring South Africa.
Yeah.
I feel like we can do, of course we cheat a lot of stuff, but there's some things that can't be cheated, like scenery, and there's something about being in a small town. All of these guys, I'm sure you guys felt the claustrophobia of being there.
You didn't have to
it's
act.
Like one street, dude.
Yeah.
Like one tar road, and then the rest is gravel, and everybody knows everybody.
And you shot this in the middle of winter, right? Am I correct?
No,
it was summer.
It was cold, but at night only.
It's just always cold there.
It's a freak. It's kind of freakish, right?
Yeah.
It's four seasons in one day. You wake up and it's cold, then the sun's out,
burning
then
hot.
It's raining. Everyone needs to take cover,
yeah.
And then we'll just fix it in the edit.
Okay, what's great about this film as well, I must say, Bianca, is it's the intelligence of the writing. I mean, you didn't go for the usual suspects of just making it kind of slapstick. Are you generally a comedy writer or are you a drama writer? How'd you go about that?
I am a super deep drama, right?
Okay.
Like, you know,
and here you
dude,
are
I'm writing
a rom-com. Okay.
Like Umlilo is hardcore, like you know, and all the projects I've worked on are very like dramatic, and this is my first attempt at a rom-com.
Do you think that it's important for where we want to take the film industry in South Africa to actually write more intelligent scripts? Is it time now that the audience wants to see comedy that kind of appeals to a higher
because I think we're all growing up in a time period where it's very it's intellectual comedy. It's like there's sarcasm, there's all these different elements that come into comedy. It's no longer, oh my God, I slapped that guy, or I slammed the door on his face, or threw a bucket of water on him and everyone cracks up. It's different. I mean, and Jody's character kind of evolved. He started off as this badass guy who's like gonna kill somebody. Well, he did kill somebody. and then you start off thinking he's gonna take on the world, and then the next thing you realize the stupidity levels just keep rising in an intellectual worse and worse, way. Right?
Yeah. It's not proven that guy died.
Oh.
There's no proof.
You stay in character like the whole time, don't you, Jody? It's like, you know, you're not letting go of that character. How important is it for an actor to, I suppose, sympathize with their character, whether we as the audience see it as a bad guy or a good guy?
Look, I think that's always a point of perspective. I don't think any guy who's being bad always thinks, hey, I'm doing this because I'm bad. You know?
Yeah,
I think
he kind of senses
moral kind of standing and within that, you know, and he kind of. That for him is his reality, you know, and I'm gonna do that. You stopped breathing, but you know, I mean, why didn't you listen to me? Just give me the information. you wouldn't have to stop breathing, you know. So then move on, you know. And I think that was quite like about the character. I mean, it's also that it's light, you know, and it is. There's no toilet kind of humor. It's this frustration of the situation. Situational comedy has grown. Yes. I mean, that is growing through. The strengths of stand-up comedy, so you know, so audience are kind of ready for that, you know. That was cool. That's why I kind of like the thing as well.
Mpo, I know I've been like, you know, I've been asking all these grown-ups all these questions.
He doesn't look like a kid in real life.
No, he definitely does not. But you know, you always play this young guy. I know that you just finished a stint on Saints and Sinners, and now that's where the audience will see you. But you also in other shows. Give us some of the shows that you've been involved in the past year as well, so people can really get to know you. Because I know you're a big TV and film star, man.
Okay, so there was Saints and Sinners. Zbondi, where that was on ETV.
Yeah,
you have to see him in that. Oh my word!
But he plays bad so well.
Oh my gosh! Were you a bad guy there as well?
Yes, I was.
No, he was psycho. Okay. I was psycho. Yeah.
Why do they always cast you as like I'm not going to say the dark guy because there's connotations of the blackness and the other. Yeah. But why do they cast you as this bad guy all the time, man?
I don't know.
You got a sweet face.
I do. You know what I mean? I do. And Simon is a sweet kid. I guess that's why I was casted for Simon.
Yeah.
But with the last two characters, you know, Zbondi and what I did on Saints and Sinners, it was more of a challenge. It was more of a test. Because for Saints and Sinners, they had already casted two other people. Before they had casted me, then they asked me if I could do it. They gave me the script, they gave me a day. I came back and I auditioned, and they were like, okay, there's something there. Once we started shooting, then I kind of grew into the character and I could deliver. The same with Zbondi, where I was called upon for it, and they were like, okay, look, this is what we want you to play. We know you can do it, so just find that darkness somewhere within you.
Yeah.
So it's always been like challenges and people actually believing in me and giving me the character and believing that I could portray it.
And in terms of your background, you know, where did you train? Where did you study? how did you get here? You know.
Funny enough, I haven't studied drama yet.
Okay.
I'm still looking on to doing it.
All right. Have you always been interested in this sort of thing?
Have you always
loved acting?
I've always loved acting.
Did you do a lot of plays in school?
I did. In primary school, I did. I did plays, and that's where my mom's friend, you know, kind of saw me, and then she decided she'll help me out.
Okay.
And then I started with Zero Tolerance back then. Then there was Bay of Plenty. Then there was Your Soul Buddies. Then, it kept on growing. However, I studied politics and philosophy at Wits.
Oh, okay.
But I'm looking into going to drama. And
so you graduated?
I'm graduating next year.
Okay, so were you part of the movement, the Fees Must Fall?
I was.
We didn't see your pictures anywhere in the media.
But do you follow him on Twitter?
I do. Yeah. Not follow him.
So, yeah, there were pictures. I was in the crowd. See, I was always there a little late when they had started because I was shooting.
Right.
But when I got there, I was with them.
Person in South Africa, how important do you think that is? I mean, how would it have helped you had you been able to just go to varsity, you got the right qualifications to get in and not necessarily, you know, have to pay?
No, I think, look, there's a lot of families, you know, that aren't able to pay for fees. There's a lot of kids that want to go to study. You know, there's a lot of kids that are actually smart and should be afforded the opportunity to go study, but they can't because of fees. And I feel like this is our common day struggle. Look, the class of 1976 had their own struggle, and I feel like this is the struggle of the kids for 2015. And this is something that we need to stand by and fight for: economic freedom in our lifetime, free education in our lifetime. I feel like that's something that's very strong that we should fight for.
Okay,
that is our struggle.
Now, I see Nicole's she's agreeing there, you know, she's like nodding her head.
It's the way he speaks, man.
Yeah,
he's got a nod. Like,
he's got a politician.
Well, he did politics.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. But here's the thing, that particular, I'd say, generation, your generation, you know, with their struggles right now, they need an outlet sometimes, and they need to go and be entertained. Why should they come and see your film?
My film is
It's a
positive light. The Jakes Are Missing is a positive light. You know, with so much negativity happening around us, with so much, you know, clouded things that are happening around us, this is that ray of light that you need, you know.
Yeah.
And I always say that, you know, love resonates with each and every one of us, you know. It can never go out of fashion. So each and every one of us should go watch The Jakes Are Missing, because, I mean, hello. We can all relate to love. Yeah. And this is something positive. It shows South Africa in a very positive way. It's very fun and it's very bright.
Yeah, it's like, it's quite an escape. You can go there and just forget about your own life for a while. And there's something there for everyone. There's that young couple. They're not that young, but, you know, they're sort of established family. You've got the love story between the two teenagers, Mpo and Nomzamo. There's so much that people can relate to in terms of relationships and what is happening, even though it's not their own life situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you feel about, Nicole, in terms of what I've seen, you know, the freshness? And it was refreshing for me, because you watch a lot of South African stuff and they kind of, I don't know, say economically, yes, there are people who are not really doing that well. But with this film's like, everyone looked fresh, clean. They're going somewhere in their life. How important is that for us to see pictures of ourselves in our ideal state? I mean, the Jakes obviously are a very successful couple, but everyone in that film kind of looked like, wherever they're from, just because they're from a small town doesn't mean they're like poor, they're broke, you feel sorry for them. You know, how important is that for us to see those kind of images of ourselves?
I actually don't know. I don't think that there's necessarily one answer to that. Maybe Bianca could elaborate in terms of when she wrote the script, if she thought that was an important thing to focus on.
It's very diplomatic. You're going to pass it on. Right?
Oh, she's going to give me a talking to outside the studio.
I think Jody had something to say.
No, I think it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's enough kind of, we deal with the negatives of, you know, it's all out there all the time, you know, with the social media and everything, you know. And I think it's good to almost to see successful role models. You know, where are our role models and who are they? And if we are showing successful role models and we are making these movies that are entertaining and you're getting young people in there, yeah, it should be positive.
Yeah.
Why do we have to? We deal with the realities of life every morning, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
and people go to a movie to escape.
Escapism, yeah. Man. Here we are. So show the positive side and knock it from there.
Bianca? I think for me, it was about characters, right?
Yeah.
So there's Nicole, Heidi, and Celeste that play these three chicks in a small town. They have nowhere to go. They have nothing to do. But
and
they are
dressed up every day.
Yeah.
They're dressed like, not like, oh my God, she's wearing Gucci, like leopard print.
Yeah.
Like, what,
it's an African aesthetic, is it?
But like in a small town, what they think is dressed to the nines. They have nowhere to go except to the salon. The bad guys are dressed like casual, like, dude, I'm wearing the same shirt for 4 days now. That's how we are. And so I feel like it's representative of the characters in the film, as opposed to and that wasn't the world I was creating. The world I was creating was a glossy,
yes,
light, fun world, and I found each character was dressed accordingly to that.
Yeah.
So even especially with Mumpo's character Janice, you know, she started off in this, and if you look at the film, it starts off in a very grayscale, corporate kind of look, and then everyone evolves, and even Mumpo evolves, and then she starts wearing more lighter clothes,
floral.
She's ultra glam, Mumpo. Like, you know, I can't keep up with her at all.
She would love that comment. She's super glam.
But here's the thing, right? I mean, did you meet any resistance in terms of anyone saying, you know, why don't you make it a little bit more ghetto, why don't you rough it up a little bit, and this is not real, and that sort of thing of
totally.
South Africa, yeah, and
totally.
How'd you get around that? I mean, how'd you get around the self-belief? Because for me, I'm like, but I can relate to those people. That's like, although I'm from the ghetto, because obviously I grew up in the township, it was the 80s, you weren't going to grow up anywhere else,
yeah,
but that's not my reality, you know what I mean?
okay, so there's a big difference, right? There's reality, there's living, and then there's making movies. And those are, and there's making dramas and television. Those are all different plateaus. When you're making a film, it's aesthetics. It's what's the look and feel. It's what's the story about. So people were like, you need to make this more South African. I'm like,
what does that mean?
Exactly.
What
does that mean?
Because all the
not
actors,
all South Africans are having the same experience.
Yeah.
Actually.
And
yeah.
What happened is when I put the cast together, just the way they portrayed the characters made it South African enough. Just because we want to show South Africa in a glossy light, we want to tell a story. Because the truth is, the story is about a woman who's been in a relationship for a long time, and she's not sure if that's what she wants. She wants to explore something new, and her son and the bad guys catapult her into a different place. And that is something that everybody experiences at some point. You,
oh, is that the story?
Ah, you thought it was about you. Hey,
if she wanted to experience something new, you,
that's how she sold
me.
The movie.
She said, "You're not ready. This is the movie."
You see why I passed all the questions to Bianca.
So eventually, I was like, guys, the point of the story is not to make it South African. It's just tell a story about people that have fallen out of love with each other.
Okay.
And what do you do in this situation?
All right. Well, we actually do have the trailer now.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Finally. Thank you. Take a bow. Let's go.
Thank you, Duncan, for that. So let's see. Duncan, don't let me down, buddy.
We used to be passionate. We'd talk for hours. I don't think we've had a decent conversation in forever.
What does that mean?
It means we don't talk.
Marriage is hard work, but the fact that you're here means you want to work it out.
I'm not going to take any advice from parents who are not in love with each other anymore.
You are grounded, Simon.
Thought so, Mom.
Show me the chip.
Last night we staked out a transaction, but everything went wrong.
So it's this guy.
Hey! Ah! Go, 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 go! Mister, the kid!
Now they believe that this guy has the microchip.
What? You're dealing with microchips now?
Because they know where you live, the next step will be taking your family to a safe place.
And where is the safe place?
I can't tell you that, ma'am, until I get you guys there. Think of this as a holiday to a place you've never been.
Hallelujah! Welcome to Pumpkin Valley.
Are you leaving us?
I have to catch the bad guys.
We got a problem. Jake's are missing.
Apparently he's an American. Moved here for her. What he needs is a little bit of my mm-mm.
What you need is a mm-mm treadmill.
So you've noticed Paige as well.
She's one hell of a looker, huh?
I just wanted a new hairstyle.
Jerry curls, S curls, permanent perm curls, soft curls, or just something for tonight curls?
No, I was hoping for the next month. Not far, but long we're in this hellhole.
I hate this town, and I hate these people.
You hate everyone, Janice.
There you have it. All right, that's the trailer for the Jakes Are Missing. Make sure that you go out there and check it out. I'm going to go on date night with my wife because we've got a date night coming up. It sounds like an amazing film. Well done, guys. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done,
to you.
Guys.
It's time for us to get out of here, so we're wrapped. Thanks for coming through, guys, and
thanks
all the best
us.
Of your film. All right, and this is how we go out today. Here we go.
Black life is not a color, it's a lifestyle on cliffcentral.com.